Good to gather together again this evening to worship the Lord at the end of this day, and we pray that God would use this time to encourage our hearts. I'm going to be reading from God's Word tonight from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and I invite you to stand for the reading of the Word. We're going to be reading tonight this portion of Scripture, starting in verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And that's as far as we're reading tonight. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we are struck by these words that we have read tonight. They speak of you, and they speak of you and your glory. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless now our reading and also our consideration of this portion of Scripture, that we might understand it and might apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Elder Letting this morning reminded us of the fact that we're right in the very end of the season leading up to Christmas, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of traveling taking place. As I was traveling with my wife last week to a concert given by one of our granddaughters, we were thinking of how many children are there, or how many cars are there on the roadways, and where is everyone going? There seems to be so much going on, building up to this point in the season. And as the music plays in the marketplace, you wonder if people really understand what's going on. There's a talk of getting into the spirit of the season, but do they really understand what the season is? Do we understand really what the meaning of this time is? And tonight we're looking at a passage which looks to a point in time shortly after the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to consider it in three points tonight, under three heads. We're going to look at the person Simeon, and then we're going to look at what he says in two parts, his prophetic words of blessing in verses 28 through 34, and in verses 34 through 35, his prophetic words of warning, and we'll take them in those three sections. So we start with what we read about this on this occasion, Simeon, and in verse 25 it says that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. The first thing we notice about Simeon is that he was a man who was righteous in terms of his relationships to people. So he acted righteously with regards to his neighbor, but he was also devout. His relationship with the Lord was a good one. And so isn't that a lovely description? And wouldn't that be one that each one of us would want for ourselves, nicely paralleling the summary of the law that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. This seems to be a good description of Simeon. And Simeon is one who is, we read, is one upon who is waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means that he was waiting for the promised delivery, the promise of the Lord's Christ. He was looking for the Messiah to come. This is a something that had been promised in the Old Testament in many places, in particular in 2 Samuel, when David was promised that his throne would be forevermore, and that there would be one day placed on his throne a greater David. And so that was a promise that was given. But now it had been almost 400 years since any prophetic word had been given to the people of Israel. They'd been waiting, but no sign of a deliverer. And so this was one, Simeon was one who was waiting for the promised Messiah to come. He was waiting and hoping for the Messiah to come and deliver and be the consolation of Israel. And then we read in verse 26, it had been revealed that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There was a promise to him. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. It seems that the Spirit of the Lord was on Simeon. We see that in the Old Testament, there are many examples where the Spirit of God was given to people for a period of time, for a purpose. The Spirit rushes upon Samson, for example, when Samson was acting as a judge and a protector of the nation of Israel. The Spirit was with King David. But for the most part, prior to the coming of Pentecost, the Spirit was not given out to all, but the Spirit was with Simeon. Simeon seems to have been one who the Spirit of God was with and was working in him. And the Spirit was telling Simeon on this one occasion that he should go to the temple. And he would be on that day, of course, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 28, we have our second section in this passage tonight, these words that Simeon speaks. First of all, words of blessing in verses 28 through 34. And when Simeon enters into the temple on that day, when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple, he sees this baby and he takes the baby up in his arms and he blesses God. He gives thanks to the Lord. We can only imagine what appreciation, what joy he would have to see this promised Messiah, and now to not only see him but embrace him and to hold him in his arms. And that, of course, is a picture of how we are to come to the Lord as well. When we see Christ by faith, we are to take hold of him. We're to cling to him. We're to depend on him alone. And so Simeon did give thanks to the Lord for this great blessing to be in the presence of his Redeemer. And we see in verse 29 the first blessing that he gives, and it has to do with his own circumstance. In verse 29, he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Now, the first aspect of Simeon's blessing is he gives praise to the Lord for the answer of what had been promised to him, that he would see the Redeemer. And he says that he may now depart in peace. Now, we know that Anna, which we have not considered tonight, and we won't consider her, but in the later part of this passage, Anna was also present on this occasion. We know she was an elderly woman. And through both Simeon and Anna, God is going to, by his under inspiration, bring glory to his newborn son in his state of humiliation. But we know Anna's older, and so perhaps she is close to death. We don't know the age of Simeon. Luke does not tell us, how old he is. He may not have been old, he might have been a young person, but what he does say is that he is now ready to see death. There is, I think, an application for us as well, that when we see the Lord and we have faith in him, then we no longer need to fear death. We can look death in the face, and we can not view it with terror or view it with fear, because we know if we are going to our death that we're going to be with the Lord. And so Simeon has seen his Savior, and now he can say that he can depart in peace. As a servant of the Lord, he can depart. He can be depart without fear. But he also mentions it's according to your word. And here there's a reminder that God's word, God is faithful to his own word. He had promised this. He had promised the coming of the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. It had been promised before, and of course in the Old Testament, when Solomon prays in 1 Kings chapter 8, at the time that the temple was to be dedicated, he prayed, "Blessed be the Lord who's given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses, his servant." So God is faithful to his word, and Simeon is acknowledging this, that so from Moses to David to through the prophets, we have God's word, and God is faithful to keep his covenant promises. And then we see that he turns to another aspect of blessing in verses 31 and 32, or 30 through 32. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And I think we can categorize this blessing in two ways. First of all, there's a blessing for the world. There's a blessing for the world. It's been prepared. It's not been hidden. It's not a light that's not been hidden under a basket, but it's going to be put up on a stand. It's prepared in the presence of all peoples. And it's a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Here's the promised coming of the Messiah that's not only going to be for the nation of Israel, but it's also going to be for the whole world. Jesus is going to remind his disciples at the time of his ascension that they're to go to Judea and to Samaria, but also they're to go to the ends of the world. And so the world which has been in darkness, the Gentiles have been in darkness, Isaiah 49 tells us, is now going to receive a great light. And the blessing of the good news is going to be proclaimed throughout the entire world. And of course, most of us represent those who have received that blessing as God has enabled the gospel message to go forth and to be preached and for us to hear and respond in faith. So it is a blessing to the world, but also it says a glory to your people Israel. And I think we can say that this is a pronounced blessing for the church. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is a blessing for the church. Certainly, it was a blessing even for Israel, even though he came to his own, as we consider this morning in John 1. His own people did not receive him, as it says in verse 11. But the Old Testament church was Israel, and I think by extension we can say today that, of course, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a blessing for the church today. As the king of the church, he subdues us to himself. He defends us. He is restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. And so we can certainly say with thanksgiving that the Messiah is a blessing for the church. And finally, in verses 33 and 34, in terms of the blessings, there's a blessing here for Joseph and Mary. Note in these verses that it says, "And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them." And so we see here there's an aspect of a blessing for them. They were, as it were, chosen to be entrusted with the bringing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing that must have been. What a great responsibility it was for them. It was something that was entrusted to them, and the Lord uses them for this very purpose. So there's a particular blessing for them. But then in the next verses of this section, which we're considering tonight, we have finally the words of warning, prophetic words of warning. And we start with verse 34, where we see that Simeon speaks to specifically Mary with these words when he says, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." So, you know, up to this point, we might think, well, this is a very nice Christmas story. The baby has come. There's peace and joy in the world. The angels have declared earlier in this chapter, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. But now Simeon brings a little change to his address to Mary. And we might wonder why, because we know, of course, that there are many prophecies about the many things that the Lord is going to do. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to raise the lame. He's going to give sight to the blind. So why does Simeon bring these words to them at this point? And we might say it's partially perhaps because Mary, he would not want her to get too puffed up in thinking that she has a special child and things are going to go the way she thinks they're going to go. But in fact, there's a different messenger altogether. And what is it speaking of? It says, "Behold, the child is appointed by God, for the fall and rising of many." When Jesus Christ appears, there's going to be a separation. People are either going to receive him or reject him. There are going to be some who are falling and some who are rising. And so it's very clear that our Lord is going to be one who is going to divide those who either receive or reject him. If you have your Bibles there, I encourage you to turn with me for a moment to Isaiah chapter 8. This is a section of Scripture that's also quoted by Peter in his first epistle. And in chapter 8, verse 14, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken." And so there is here a reference to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to be one that's either is going to be the stone of offense, the rock on which some may be broken. But this is the reason for Christmas. This is the reason that the Lord sent his only begotten Son to take to himself human flesh, in order that he might live a perfect life, keeping the law, and then experiencing death on the cross for our sin and to be raised again. And that is going to be an offense to some, and it's going to be a sanctuary for others. If we're looking upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been appointed for our rising, but if we reject him, then we will be broken on this rock of our Savior. If you look earlier on the earlier page in chapter 7 of Isaiah, in verse 17, here again it speaks about a sign. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And this is the sign, but it is a sign that is being opposed. And why is that? Why are some opposing that sign? Well, it's because, of course, they don't want what Jesus Christ represents. They don't want new life in him. They don't want to entrust themselves to God's saving work. They don't want to live a life devoted to God. They want to live a life devoted to self and to the world. And some are under the power of Satan. And then in verse 35, we see these words, another warning, a sword will pierce your own soul also. That's, of course, a direct reference to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to suffer many indignities. He's going to be humbled. He's going to be tortured and, of course, placed on a cross. And Mary was the mother of Jesus Christ, so she would certainly have sympathy for that, and it would hurt her to see the Lord Jesus Christ put on the cross. But, of course, she could do nothing to prevent that. She needs the saving work of Jesus Christ herself. She needs to cling to his work as well. And so, but it is a reminder that she, as all of us, need that Savior. And then finally in this passage, we see this phrase, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. When Jesus comes and returns, the next time he returns, he will come to judge the world. And we know that there is a, at that point, again, that this judge will come, as he will come as a judge, many will cry out to him, saying that they deserve to be received by him. And they will say, Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? And Jesus will say, away from you, I never knew you. Depart from me. And so men will be judged for their thoughts. Their thoughts will be revealed. Now, how is that revealed now? Well, it's revealed by God's word. As God's word is read, as God's word is proclaimed, it is the way in which we learn what is in our own hearts. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, as Hebrews 4:12 says, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So the word of God is revealing where we stand in response to him. And the question is for us today is, where do we stand with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we falling or are we rising? We know that some who were in the closest circle of our Savior, such as Judas, was falling. And some, such as Peter, may have stumbled, but he was rising. He put his faith and his trust in the Lord. And so that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And as we, at this time of the year, think on these things, about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to be our Redeemer, we, in fact, rejoice over that fact. We rejoice for the reason that we are remembering this season. But we are also remembering that we spend time with people. And we are spending time very much over the next few days, some who are close family, some that are friends, that may be falling. They may be those who are not placed, they have not placed their faith and their trust in Christ. And as we are with them, we should encourage them, of course, to put aside every encumbrance and cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some may be rising, and we should encourage one another as we are gathered together. But only as we think on the Lord Jesus Christ in this way can we really truly understand the meaning of Christmas. So I encourage you to be in prayer for those who you are with over the next few days. If they are falling, pray for them that they may embrace Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these really striking words here. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to be our Savior, but we know that some are not pleased to see him. For some, he is a rock of stumbling. And so, Lord, we would pray especially for those in our own families and our friends and our close circle of acquaintances that as we are gathered with them during this season, that you'll enable us to be a witness of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. We pray, Father, that they would receive your word and receive the blessed Savior. We ask that, Father, you would help us to live our lives each day to demonstrate our love for Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.